What are we doing? We're funding Gary Glitter's retirement while he's in jail?
Hype him up, Mike.
Listen, there we go.
I sense people have given up on this series. The entire goal for the Houston Rockets heading into the Western Conference Finals was to get this series to 2-2. That's it. Transport yourself to 9 days ago. And no matter what the situation was, whether you won two at home and lost two games in Oakland, or whether it was split and split, your whole goal this entire time has been make this a best of three. Nothing matters right now. The only thing you have to do is win this game tonight, and you need to then make the defending champions go into your building and win at least one more time. The whole goal for the last 9 days, the last 2 weeks since we've known this series was happening, was make this thing a best of three with two home games, game five and game seven. This is the opportunity the Rockets have tonight. Game three doesn't matter. Game one doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is finding a way to win this game tonight. Andre Iguodala is doubtful. He's probably not playing.
Screw
the Warriors
Andre Iguodala.
Are a team that routinely pushes back on the gas pedal.
Yeah.
This is your opportunity. Nothing else matters. If you win this game, and this is not being biased or a homer, if you win this game, you have this series exactly where you want it.
There you go.
Thank you.
Okay, good job.
It's just not the same, man.
I actually believe everything I just said.
Just not the same.
Why are you so demoralized?
You know what you're doing there, though? You're kind of like you're stating a situation instead of just like telling them what they need to do. This is what they're going to do. They're going to go out and they get to bust their asses on defense. It all starts on defense. They should not care or talk or think one shred about offense. Leading into this game, the offense takes care of itself. The offense completely, 100%, totally takes care of itself if they play well defensively, if they get steals, if they get rebounds, if they do all those things. Yeah,
I agree with you. Focus on defense and let the offense take care of itself. Now, we're gonna have four hype basically segments over the course of the show. So once per hour, each one will have a different theme.
Yeah,
and our first theme this morning was basically the opportunity, even the series, make it a best of three.
This is the other thing too. How much do I have to read about Steph Curry saying the F word and acting like it was some kind of like
deal?
That was the big moment or something where now he's back, baby. He said the F word, even though he's a devout Christian. I feel like as an insult to devout Christians that devout Christians never say the F word. You know, like devout Christians say the F word all the time. And then they feel bad about it and everything. But it's not like it doesn't happen. So like let's leave the Christianity out of it. He doesn't typically swear in public and he swore in public. It's the shimmy. It's the shimmy that offends the sensibilities of good, upstanding, moral Americans.
The shimmy
is worse than Elvis Presley in the 50s thrusting his pelvis.
What about
the shimmy is disgusting and rude.
What about the mouth guard, though? The mouth guard's more disgusting.
Though the mouth guard doesn't have any... The mouth guard isn't somebody trying to be something he's not. That shimmy looks so awkward and stupid when Steph Curry does it. I might as well be shimmying
out
there.
So you think he's trying too hard?
He's trying way too hard with that shimmy.
Okay.
He's trying to be a little too much of a showman where he needs to just be like the quiet, skinny kid that people love to think of as an underdog, even though he grew up rich and with an NBA father and every advantage given to him possibly.
People do hate that mouth guard thing that he does.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to detest about him because it's the hypocrisy, Mike. It's the hypocrisy about the Golden State Warriors where they somehow have maintained somewhat of a squeaky clean image, even though they are the team of the moving screens. They are the team of Steve Kerr getting more technicals than any other coaches. I don't know if he won the title this year or not. It's just they're the team of Draymond Green.
Yep.
And yet they maintain some wholesome image because Steph Curry only says the F word once a season, I suppose.
I don't think they're really liked at this point much nationally. Their brand of basketball is, but as far as the overall team and the personalities and their dominance, people are rooting for anything but Golden State.
People actively dislike them, though. I don't think as many people actively dislike Steph Curry as, like, say, LeBron James.
I think that might change here very quickly, especially if they do play Cleveland in the NBA Finals. Mad Radio on a Tuesday, Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack are both skipping voluntary workouts. Jadeveon Clowney, as far as we know, is not, although the Texans had their first media availability with the OTAs today, and it was basically, I'm guessing on this exact day last year, that we found out that Dwayne Brown was holding out.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if a player was holding out of Texans OTAs, which I don't know if they are or not, but I don't think we would know on Monday.
Did Dwayne Brown score a victory for, say, Aaron Donald?
How so?
Because Dwayne Brown held out, and nobody anticipated him holding out as long as he did. And NFL teams, the Texans, like, I don't fault, you and I disagree on this. I don't fault the Texans for not anticipating Dwayne Brown holding out as long as he did, because so very, very few players have had extended holdouts under the last couple CBAs. So I think the Texans were doing what most teams should do, which is not take that holdout all that seriously, especially when Dwayne Brown doesn't have that same leverage and the same value as a guy like Aaron Donald. So I wonder. Aaron Donald could conceivably hold out and actually have it work out for him financially. So far it doesn't look like it's worked out for Dwayne Brown financially.
Not at this point.
If the Seahawks don't give him a new contract, Dwayne was just out a whole bunch of money last year, both in fines and missed service time and all that.
I mean, he could basically play this year and get a new contract, but then you would ask the question, like, well, he could have done that here,
right?
He could have done that elsewhere.
Right. Yeah, he might have gotten, like, right, he could be getting a new contract with the Texans right now if he had stayed and played.
Yes. Do we think that Clowney would hold out? We haven't really discussed this possibility because we don't really know at this moment.
Yeah, that's true, because when did DeAndre not say anything until right before training camp, and then he had that little mini holdout?
The one-day holdout.
My theory was that he was holding out until the weather cooled off a little bit, because it was like 98 degrees that first day, then he showed up the next. I don't know. I guess I'd be surprised. I think the problem with Clowney, and I think Clowney and his agent know this, is that he just simply doesn't have the same track record that a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, or excuse me, that a guy like DeAndre Hopkins or J.J. Watt had as they entered that fifth year.
Yes.
Let's see, who else? Well, Aaron Donald, he just hasn't produced as much as Aaron Donald.
Yeah, that's my thing. I love Clowney, and ever since he got here, I consider myself one of his defenders in the city, and he is one of my favorite athletes in the city to watch. But looking at this, Seth, objectively, he does not make the same kind of impact on the game that Donald and Mack do on a consistent basis. I actually think he's generally probably as good as Khalil Mack, but he just hasn't been as healthy over the 4 years. I think Donald is probably the best defensive player in the NFL.
The difference would be that and again, Donald's been doing it for several years now. Donald has been doing it his whole career. Donald plays next to, or at least this past season, played next to more talent. So, like, is Jadeveon Clowney really came into his own this season or over the last couple seasons? This year, when I think he really could have had his genuine, like, big-time breakout year, he lost Whitney Mercilus and J.J. Watt.
Yes.
So, Donald plays amidst some very good frontline players there in St. Louis, or gosh dang it, Los Angeles, and that makes a big difference. But whatever it is, production is production, and Donald's had more of it.
I mean, I think he is the best defensive player in the league, and I think he's going to get a contract commensurate with that. So I am very interested to see eventually, because I think Clowney will get a deal done before the season begins, what Clowney's deal looks like compared to these guys. Because objectively, looking at the production, it's not at the level of those two players. We'll find out over the course of the next couple months.
Marcus Peters is speaking up and telling his new team to go ahead and pay Aaron Donald. Marcus Peters has been there for like 37 minutes.
Yes.
And he's speaking up and telling the team to pay Aaron Donald.
Has never played a snap for the...